Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Patton. Jason, there's not much going on with the Chicago Bulls right now. We're still a couple weeks out from the true slop season coming with some trade rumors, some free agency rumors. The draft, of course, is about 1 month away. The Bulls do not have a pick in this draft. I believe they could acquire one still, or they definitely can still acquire one, but how are they going to do that will be the big question if the Bulls do want to try to move into this draft. And in general, the NBA is still just sort of waiting for the other participant in the finals to come through. The Boston Celtics have clawed their way out of a 3-0 hole against the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. That series is now 3-2. We'll see if Jimmy can punch his ticket to the finals for a second time with Miami. And the Denver Nuggets are just sitting there waiting. The Nuggets are just going to have this huge break until the Eastern Conference champion is determined. So fun time in the league. I think the Eastern Conference Finals has gotten pretty good. Not a ton going on with our Bulls lately, but there have been some like loose rumors and threads we could follow already starting to pop out.
Yeah, obviously with the combine last week that you were at, combine brings some minor slop season, if we can call it that, with just whatever, a bunch of execs and whatever coaches and scouts and GMs, like all there. People start talking, some loose lips, some rumors start coming out. And like there's been some speculation. Casey Johnson brought it up last week, and he also brought it up again in a mailbag that he put out, I believe it was yesterday, that I'm reading right now. Again, the first question was about him reporting on the speculation about the Bulls possibly bringing up their core and about speculation involving like Zach LaVine or DeMar. I believe the initial speculation was talking about like, I think it was like with that Blazers pick. And we obviously talked about that a little bit with Sean Eichen recently. And doesn't seem like that would be like the Blazers' first choice, but does seem like their first choice, who could be Mikal Bridges. The Nets have been posturing that they do not want to make that trade, or they'd at least need more than whatever the number three pick and Anthony Simons or whatever that trade would look like. So we'll see. Obviously, there's still a lot of time here, but in this new mailbag, Casey was asked again about like, do you think they will break up this core? And he certainly doesn't have an actual answer. He notes that the Bulls' public stance is they're not going to do it, and that Vooch has some say in it about whether he wants to come back. But again, he says several rival executives who NBC Sports Chicago talked to at the combine are skeptical about the long-term marriage between Zach and the Bulls. LaVine, who's been loyal to the Bulls, has grown tired of consistently landing in trade rumors, although talk of the Knicks' interest at the trade deadline was overstated. The Bulls have publicly backed LaVine at every opportunity. He says, so believe that for now over rival executive speculation. But again, we'll see how that works. Again, there were those kind of Knicks rumors at the trade deadline. And Casey says they were overstated. we'll see if the Knicks, after bowing out to the Heat, their scoring obviously was a bit rough in that series. Julius Randle really struggled. If they would come back to someone like Zach, if they have bigger fish to fry, I know like Embiid and like Cat have been brought up with them. But again, a lot of this does seem to be coming from whatever other teams, other speculation about it. We've also saw there was some speculation about like DeAndre Ayton with the Suns, because it seems like Ayton probably wants out of Phoenix. We know he signed that offer sheet last year with the Pacers and they matched. And then this year it was kind of another disaster for him in the playoffs. And the rumors immediately started afterwards that the Suns were going to look to trade Ayton. The Bulls came up. I think it was Sean Devaney over at Heavy, like talked to whatever, some exec or some person who said, oh, like the Bulls are like the most interesting team who could be a possibility for Ayton. And we talked about Ayton last year too. And Ayton's an interesting character. I mean, and of course, like if Vooch leaves, like Ayton is it's much younger. Theoretically, still possibly some higher ceiling for him to hit, but Ayton is a very frustrating player to watch because he just plays so soft, but despite being just an absolute monster of a man and built like a god, it's very frustrating to watch him play so soft. But I mean, still, like, it would be possibly an intriguing option. Maybe, again, who knows just like how much he's just does not like playing in Phoenix, and maybe a fresh start would be good for him. We also had Sam Smith, longtime Bulls legendary beat writer at Bulls.com, talks about how he does think that the Bulls will not bring all three members of their quote-unquote big three back. Interesting that Sam is writing that and wrote that on the Bulls website. So that's some of the main slap that we've seen. What do you make of any of that, Ricky?
Yeah, I think, you know, a few people have texted me, like, would you trade LaVine for the Blazers' number three pick? I would definitely do that. I mean, especially if Scoot Henderson is available with the number three pick. I'd say right now it looks like Charlotte is going to do what, in my opinion, would be a mistake and take Brandon Miller at number two overall, leaving Scoot on the board at number three for Portland. You know, if Portland wants Zach LaVine for the number three pick, I would do that without even thinking about it. But as you mentioned, I do think Portland is going to have some targets above Zach who they could go get for that pick. Mikal Bridges has been buzzed about
them Raptors quite a bit. Guys, maybe.
Siakam. How about Jaylen Brown? With everyone talking about the Celtics potentially breaking it up, Jaylen Brown, of course, owed a monster extension after this season. So that could be one. Even Cat. You know, could you see Cat in Portland? That could be pretty interesting. So realistically, I don't think the Bulls can get the number three overall pick for Zach LaVine, though that would be awesome, in my opinion. And I like Zach. But when I think about it, it's like, okay, he's turning 29 this season.
Yeah.
He closed the year so strong. But what? He still has four more years left on that big extension. And you just think, like, well, you know, if he has another knee problem, like, then at that point, does the contract become an albatross? Like, right now, he could still have pretty good value, especially since I think you look around the league and, like, it's pretty wide open. Like, a team, there's a lot of teams who believe that, like, they can add a high-level piece and potentially compete for a championship. Yep. So, LaVine could have some pretty solid trade value this season. I like LaVine. But I think that, you know, if the Bulls do decide to move on from him, I'd be cool with it for sure. If they get a really good package for him. We've already seen what this team looks like, sort of being rebuilt around Zach. And Zach is not able to carry a team to victories by himself. We know that at this point. So I think that that's sort of like the first thing you have to try to figure out. Like, LaVine probably has the most trade value of anyone on the team. I would think he has more trade value than DeRozan, just given that
just the years, team control,
shooter,
yeah,
and he's under contract. So that's not to say that the Bulls should like openly shop Zach LaVine, but you know, if you could get the number three pick, I think that would be interesting. I think I mentioned it on the last pod too, but like, you know, 6-11 from Orlando, to me, that would be something you would have to think about, just because you could add two lottery level, you know, 19-year-olds to the future of the team and try to replenish the young talent on the team that way. Beyond that, Ayton's interesting. Like, Ayton, what's he making per year? Off the top of my head, I'm going to say he's making $34 million annually.
I believe the contract is 4 years, $133 million. So what is that, 30-something? Like, basically, I think what exactly what you said.
Yeah. I could be talked into Ayton. Ayton would, like, the main appeal of Ayton would sort of be, let's see something new.
Yeah.
Like, we saw the Vooch thing for a couple years. Vooch, certainly not the scapegoat to the Bulls' problems. I think Vooch, like, first of all, Vooch played every game. Like, you got to give him credit for that. Like, he was super available, and he gave you above-average center play every single game. He played the most important defensive position for a defense that finished, what, number five in the league?
Yeah.
And offensively, he can stretch the floor a little bit. He can pass a little bit. Certainly, like, the trade to acquire Vooch was disappointing. I don't think, you know, Vooch's level of play just slipped after he came from Orlando to the Bulls. But part of that is going from the first option to the third option. And we've seen that happen in different quote unquote big threes, you know, over the last 10 years in the NBA. So if they were to get Ayton, I would be interested in like what Ayton's defense could look like. Cause like Ayton was pretty stout defensively against Jokic in that matchup. When Ayton wasn't on the floor, the Suns were just barbecue chicken against Jokic. Obviously, you know, as you mentioned, the thing with Ayton is it's just like, come on, dude, just dunk the ball. Like, why are you doing these like fadeaways and hook shots when you could just be slamming it every single time? But Ayton's still 23. He's a good player. I mean, don't forget all the big games he had on the Suns' run to the finals in 2021, where he was putting up some monster stat lines. I don't think that Ayton is like a great prospect or a great player. Potentially he could make an all-star game or two, maybe. He's a frustrating player though, because he leaves you wanting more. He has the tools to be better than he is, and because of how
he's still kind of limited offensively too, in terms of like whatever, he doesn't really shoot, not much of a shooter, like his
not much of a passer,
not much of like Vooch is definitely like a better passer and playmaker. So it's like he puts up numbers because he's huge, like when he's decent around the basket, but he's often just goes up so soft, like whatever, he's got pretty good touch and all that, but like you just wish he would dunk on people and that he could extend, like whatever, get a little more versatility to his game. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be like a double-double guy for a long time. It's just, will he ever be more than that? And like, is that worth 30-some million?
For a center. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he's worth his money.
Right.
And people will say like, Zach's not worth his money, but like, at least Zach is a sick shooter who can also give you rim pressure. Not that Zach's a perfect player. He's got his own warts. But I kind of think that like, you know, Zach's movement shooting ability, especially if they could get him shooting more threes, might aid winning more than what Ayton can do, especially given that you can typically find big men cheaper.
Yeah.
You can't really find, you know, guys who can give you rim pressure and volume 3-point shooting for cheap on the market. The one thing I want to talk about, Jace, is just like, you know, what the Bulls could have to work with. And I read this in a post from Eli Schuster at Bleacher Nation. He does an awesome job blogging the Bulls. Really enjoy that website. So I'm just going to read off a little part of his article in his story, which was called, what money do the Bulls have to spend this summer? So Eli wrote, for instance, let's say Vucevic signs an $18 million per year deal to return. Kobe White signs a $13 million deal, and Io signs a $4 million deal. That would give the Bulls $8.5 million below the luxury tax threshold to operate with, and the Bulls' full mid-level exception would be $12 million. So we saw this last year, too. The Bulls chose not to use the full mid-level exception because they didn't want to go into the luxury tax. You have to assume that's going to be the same again. It's bullshit, but it's just going to happen. So what I think about when I think one contract for $8.5 million is the Bulls going after Danilo Gallinari last year because they offered him something similar. That of course Gallinari then didn't play a game this year. He got hurt before training camp and didn't play a game, so that would have been a disaster if the Bulls would have done that, but at least they would have had a contracted trade, I suppose. I don't really know, like I don't have like a list of guys in front of me of who the Bulls could get. I think someone like Max Strus would be good.
Strus or Gabe, I believe both those guys are free agents, right? Vincent,
who the Bulls need is shooting. So yeah, Gabe Vincent for $8.5 million a year, like that could be a decent deal. They could use some size too, like Jay Crowder. Can he?
Yeah, I mean, a forward.
Can you get him for the biannual exception of $4 million a year?
He didn't play this year. He barely played this season. And
yeah, the Bucks traded for him and then cut him out of the rotation.
And he was very upset about it.
But yeah, they could use fresh legs though, baby. No, he might just be totally washed. Obviously, there's a reason why Bud wasn't playing him. But like, if the Bulls don't break up the big three, they need to add volume shooting. Like, yeah, that's just it. You need two volume shooters. You need one for $8 million, one for, you know, whatever, $4 million
minimum or something, or biannual, like you said, biannual exception. I believe they do have that available. They used it on Tristan a couple years ago. Western Conference Final participant Tristan Thompson played game four and did okay. But that was kind of funny. But yeah, they used the biannual on him, and they didn't have it last year, but I believe they will have that again. Yeah, and that's something, $3 or $4 million. So they will have a few of those exceptions to add a few players at least. Like you said, they got to add shooting, no doubt. They could use a point guard as well. We'll see what they do there. We'll see if they bring back Kobe. Obviously, Lonzo is probably not coming back. And there's also the disabled player exception. I know that things start getting tricky with like the tax apron as well. I mean, they're not going to go in the tax. So like some of this might be just completely irrelevant. But like if they actually want to spend and go into the tax, there's also the tax apron. I can't remember how high that is, but like if they had like the disabled player exception too, and the mid-level and the biannual, there is the hard cap that gets triggered when you use those kind of things. So I'm not sure how much higher they could go, but like there are some avenues to use to get some role players here. I mentioned a point guard. I have to bring this up now because it was kind of talked about on Hoopside. It was Mike Scotto and then like a couple of Knicks guys, Ian Begley and Stephon Bondi. Scotto brought up how, Derrick Rose, I think, would make a lot of sense going back to the Bulls. And I think Bondi was like, oh, yeah, like it sounds right. Because I think D Rose was like a $15 million like team option or some shit like that. Which, I mean, he was out of the rotation. There's no, I can't imagine they're bringing him back for that much. Like, maybe they bring him back for cheap, but like, Ricky, I feel like we've talked about D Rose. Like, and this comes up like every year, I feel like a D Rose reunion because the Bulls still need point guard help.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Would you bring back one Derrick Rose?
God, no, I just don't want it. I do think that Rose could maybe still play at a decently high level.
I'm not sure, because he just fell out of the rotation. So, like, yeah. I don't know how much he's got left, honestly.
And Tibbs was the only coach who he could really do anything for. Yeah. So if Tibbs lost trust in him, but, like, what is he going to be, 34? I think
he's older than that. I think he's my age. I think he might be 35. I mean, he'd be cheap, I would assume.
In a small role, it's possible that he could provide some competency at point guard. He's not a very good shooter.
Right.
He's not going to defend a ton. And just, like, how available is he going to be? Like, he's not going to be able to play 30 minutes a game. And really, like, the Bulls' whole problem, like, people say, like, oh, the Vooch trade is their big problem or whatever. Their big mistake was signing Lonzo, because he makes $20 million a year and he can't play. Like, at least Vooch is playing every game. And if you're trying to compete and you got a guy taking up $20 million a year who can't play for 3 years, that's just an issue. So anyways, back to D Rose. It's like, well, I guess the question is just like, how do you fill that point guard hole?
Yeah. I mean, if you're bringing him in at the minimum to be like your third string point guard, like, fine. And he's whatever you want to do that. Again, that does feel like super Garpaxian, just for you can easily sell the D Rose signing to a Bulls fan base that is super pissed off again. And a lot of Bulls fans will be excited about it. And even if he doesn't play, although people would probably be clamoring for him to play a lot.
Because I mean, who else is going to play point guard for you? Who knows if they what are they do at point guard? Like, who the fuck knows? Was Lonzo's not going to play, and we'll see what happens with Kobe and Io. And even if, I mean, I don't know if they're going to try any other ideas. There was actually bring up some other slot for the point guard spot. I believe it was Eric Kreen at the Athletic brought up, was kind of going through a Raptors trade like off season, kind of like blow it up type deal. And his idea was a sign and trade of Fred VanVleet for Lonzo, Patrick Williams, and like a second round pick. Would you do that?
You know what? I don't think VanVleet moves the needle enough for me to trade Pat. Like,
yeah,
I don't think Pat's going to be a superstar, but I do think he's going to be a pretty solid two-way forward who will give you above average defense and some shooting. And, you know, you hope that one day it just fully clicks offensively for him. Yeah. And VanVleet's play really fell off this year. He's so small. I know he has been an all-star recently.
Heavy minutes, too.
He's played a ton of minutes. So, no, I'm not trading Patrick Williams for that. Screw that. Like, maybe if VanVleet put the Bulls on a path to, like, where they could win the championship, you do that trade. But the Bulls aren't even close
to like me. a finishing piece there. Yeah, I would agree. I would tend to agree. I don't think they trade Pat unless you're getting, like, a legit big time upgrade. I mean, I wouldn't like be opposed to trying some way to get VanVleet, but like, I'd be shocked if they trade Pat. And I do think the article did say that he thought it was a trade that he didn't think like either like the Bulls would do. He might have even said like neither team would do it, and that the Raptors should bring back VanVleet, I think, if they didn't, because I think the other trade he suggested was like Siakam for like the third pick. So this was just like a whole like rebuilding thing for him. But yeah, like I think Fred like makes sense as a target if they did try to keep this core together, or at least whatever, stick with DeMar and Zach, or stick with at least two of them, and you need a point guard upgrade, Fred makes sense. Right? He's from the area. He's and he's obviously just a really solid veteran player. Again, going Kirk Heinrich, he's got a house in the area. But so, yeah, I think it makes sense as a target if you're, like, still trying to compete this year and if there's a way you could get him. But, again, the Bulls aren't really going to have cap space and they would have to work out some type of sign-and-trade. But, yeah, the Pat thing, I would be shocked if the Bulls, even with Pat, like, not, whatever, taking the big steps forward you would like. Because right now, as I've said before, like, one of the only ways it feels like the Bulls can get out of this malaise is with Pat somehow breaking out into a star. So, like, trading him for Fred is a known quantity at this point. He's not, and it just, yeah, like you said, probably just not moving the needle enough to give up that shot, that out, even if it's an outside shot at Pat turning into a star, probably just not worth it at this point.
Yeah, but even if Pat's not a star, like, he can still be a good player. You still need players like Pat. Right. He's the only forward on the entire roster. He's pretty good defensively. He's still only 21. He's shooting 40% from three, granted on low volume, but still, like, I'm not giving up Pat. Not for that package. I'm also thinking, to tie it back to D Rose, weren't there reports that the Bulls almost signed D Rose instead of Caruso? Like, they basically, like, Caruso was their first option and D Rose was their backup option that year. Something that is coming to mind. One more thing, Jason, this is just me spewing stuff, but one thing I'd like to see the Bulls do this offseason, not going to happen, but I'd love to see it: fire Donovan and hire Bud. I think Bud would be a real nice coaching upgrade, and he's just sitting there available. I assume he wants to coach again. Of course, he did have the death of one of his brothers happen during these playoffs, so perhaps he would prefer to sit this season out, but he's being mentioned as a candidate for a lot of these top jobs. And of any of the available coaches on the market, Monty Williams, Nick Nurse, Doc Rivers, I want Bud. Bud's the best coach of that group. Obviously, he's had a lot of issues in his career with the Bucks, but he's still a great coach. I mean, if you look at his Atlanta teams and you look at his Bucks teams, like, he turned both those organizations around. Regular season monster, just plays a modern style, knows how to build a good team. So fire Billy, hire Bud. Jason, am I crazy?
I mean, it's not going to happen, as you said. Like, they gave Billy a secret extension. And I feel like the upgrade there, I mean, he's still only, like you said, Bud is like, it's got a really nice just floor, probably good at developing. Again, we saw problems with Bud in terms of some of the like in-game adjustment stuff. And, obviously he's been criticized a lot for playoff coaching, but, I mean, you got to get to the playoffs to actually be criticized for playoff coaching. And, he certainly has done a good job just kind of building up teams to get to that level. And he did win a championship, although also had Giannis, and that's why he won title was Giannis, and that team is really good. But I don't know if I'd be like really barging down the door to do that, but I don't know.
Jason,
I
mean, Bill Guerin won 60 games with the 2015 Atlanta Hawks.
He did.
And then he won 48-43. Okay, then Atlanta has a bad year. They fire him. Then goes to Milwaukee. They win 60-56, 51-58. So I think Bud is definitely a better coach than Billy. I wouldn't like stamp that about Doc Rivers. I think Monty Williams is probably a better coach than Billy, but I think Monty Williams is also like a tough coach in ways that could like rub some people the wrong way. So I wouldn't necessarily replace Billy with Monty. I wouldn't replace Billy with Nick Nurse. Probably not, even though Nurse is probably a better coach. But Bud, I think, would be a big upgrade. And if the Bulls were actually serious about wanting to maximize them winning, I'm firing Billy and I'm hiring Bud.
Interesting take. I don't know if I could go there, but I like the idea. It's thinking, I don't even know if that's outside the box. But again, we know it's not going to happen. They seem to love Billy. Billy's fine. It is what it is. Oh, well. I think that's pretty much most of the Bulls stuff we've gone over. I'm sure there's some slop we've missed. And of course, there'll be plenty more to go. Probably not draft slop, because the Bulls have, no draft picks in this year's draft. So that's exciting stuff. But hopefully we do some other rumors pick up. And we'll obviously talk more offseason. We'll have to look more into targets. We'll talk to some other guys, see what they think the Bulls should do moving forward here. But to wrap it up here, some quick playoff talk. As you mentioned, Heat Celtics went from 3-0 Heat to 3-2 Celtics. I'm not very surprised that happened. The fact that the Heat were up 3-0 to begin with was absolutely ridiculous. I thought the Celtics were going to win this series in 5 or 6, and if they didn't dick around in the first couple games, it probably should have ended last night, but they did dick around. Jimmy was awesome in those first couple games. The game 3 was a complete shocker, but now it's 3-2. Going back to Miami, the Celtics seem to have figured things out. Ricky, you think they're going to pull off this comeback, or do you think Jimmy's going to come forth with a big performance in game 6 or 7 to end this? I personally think the funniest outcome for me, I mentioned this yesterday on Twitter, that would be if Boston wins game 6 and then they go back to game 7 and lose at home in game 7. That would be hilarious to me. I kind of think Miami's going to get it done tomorrow, because I think the Celtics have just one more like choke or just like disappointing performance in them. Even though, again, I think they're the better team. I thought the series should have been basically over already. The Heat should not be this close to an NBA Finals with this team, even as good as Jimmy's been. They have so many injuries. Gabe Vincent got hurt again. Caleb Martin almost got hurt, or kind of went down yesterday, although he ended up being fine. Their team is basically the walking dead. I mean, Jimmy's hurt too, even though he got hurt in the playoffs too, and he's playing through it. Like, there's just like no reason for them to be where they are, but I still feel like they got one more in them, and that the Celtics have one more, whatever, it's like complete collapse, choking them. Ricky, what do you think about this series?
He winning in 7. I didn't even see you say that on Twitter, but
be the funniest outcome.
I think that the Celtics love to beat themselves, and the Celtics have one more performance in them where they can beat themselves. They love to shoot themselves in the foot. I do think the Heat need 45 from Jimmy to win.
Yeah, they need Jimmy to be big. Like, I think the one criticism a lot of people have had, even like we're obviously Jimmy stands, is sometimes there are games where he just comes out and just does not try hard enough to score for himself. And like that was exactly what happened last night. 10 shot attempts. He had 14 points. That's just not good enough. They might not have won anyways, because the Celtics shot 1,000,000% from 3 again. And the Heat and like Bam and Kyle Lowry turned the ball over 1,000,000 times. Like, even a big Jimmy performance might not have led to a win, but like Jimmy can't be only taking 10 shots and scoring 14 points. Like, they need him to come out and set the tone and really go get more aggressive. And obviously the Celtics have changed some things. You get bigger bodies on him like Tatum, and throwing more bodies at him that makes it tough. But, and even if he's banged up, like whatever, Jimmy's gotten a lot of praise. We've praised him. We love him. He needs to come out and take more than 10 shots. He's got to take 20 or 25 shots, I feel like, in game 6, just because they're running out of bodies, and he just can't keep relying on Max Strus and Gabe Vincent, who's hurt, and Kevin Love's kind of, his effectiveness is kind of worn out. Lowry, the last couple of games, has been terrible. I mean, they're playing fucking like Haywood Highsmith out there. He started the second half yesterday. And like, again, Caleb Martin's been good, but I mean, Duncan Robinson was their leading scorer yesterday. Like that can't be a thing. Jimmy and Bam got to show up big in game six or game six or game seven. Everyone seems to think if the Heat lose game six, that they're totally toast in game seven. I don't think that's the case. I think they could win a game seven on the road again, because the Celtics, we've seen them just kind of throw games away even when they shouldn't. So yeah, the funniest outcome would be Jimmy Butler hitting a game-winning shot in game seven after he missed the game winner in game seven last year. So if like the Celtics come all the way back and then the Heat beat them in Boston, would be super funny. Like I said, I still think the Heat are going to win game six, or at least one of these next two. If they don't, that'd be a real bummer for Jimmy's legacy, and fuck Boston, it'd be brutal to see them. I think either way, Denver's probably beating either of these teams. Would you agree there? I feel like you've been on Denver all playoffs, haven't you? When we've asked you, and you've gone with Denver, and they've shown really very little to discourage that.
Yeah. Just feels like Jokic's year.
Yeah.
This would be a very Dirk-esque championship if Jokic can get it done, where, you know, there's no other all-star caliber player on the roster. And certainly Murray's playing.
I mean, Murray's been great. That series he just had against the Lakers was incredible.
Murray's a bit of a roller coaster.
He is. You
know? High highs, low lows.
Yeah.
And it all comes back to Jokic. It's foolish to discuss it any other way. He's the best player in the world right now, and he can, you know, solidify himself as an all-time great with a champion. Yep. He's at least at the Dirk level, and I would say above Dirk if he wins a championship this year.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, like, Dirk is awesome, yeah, but I mean, Jokic, MVP. I mean, two MVPs, almost a third, and just the way he does it. I mean, he's arguably the best passing big man of all time, and he's triple double stuff. Just like, I know the numbers are a little inflated in this era, but still, like, two MVPs and a title, and whatever, he's 20, how old is he, 27? 28. Yeah, in his prime, like, yeah. And it does seem like it is like finally his time. And I know they've been playing like the underdog card, and Michael Malone's been coming out with these fire quotes post game, just like shitting on people. And of course, then we got the bullshit yesterday from like Chris Mannix talking about how the Nuggets aren't interesting and all that, and really just brutal stuff, because they're very interesting. Jokic is interesting. Murray's got a great story. A bunch of other interesting players on that team. So yeah, it does feel like the Nuggets seem like the team to beat right now. I mean, Boston, they're so talented. And like, it wouldn't shock me if Boston, whatever, came back and made history in the series and then beat Denver. Yeah. But I would have to think, I mean, Denver is just the clear favorite. We'll see whatever the rest versus Russ thing, but I mean, they're going to be fresh. They have the home court advantage with wherever the altitude there. I know Boston's played really well on the road in general these playoffs, but it does feel like it's Jokic's time to just make this happen and finally get that ring. So probably, if it's not Jimmy, if it is Nuggets Celtics, certainly hoping pulling for the Nuggets there, because again, fuck Boston. If it is the Heat, if the Heat do pull through, I'll certainly be rooting for Jimmy to win, but I mean, I feel like the Nuggets would absolutely annihilate the Heat in the series, maybe in five. Although again, the Heat have every time I whatever doubt them, they've kind of come back strong, even though the last couple games they've looked bad. But I just don't see how they could handle that Nuggets team, but who knows, we'll see. That game six, Heat Celtics in Miami, is tomorrow night, Saturday night. We obviously got a long holiday weekend coming up, and we will see if a game seven will be forced. The Nuggets are just hanging out waiting for the finals next week, so they'll have a nice weekend themselves to continue preparing. So I got nothing else. Ricky, you got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here on this episode of Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. As always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. With the playoffs, we're almost in the finals. Go check out the great pods, NBA pods or whatever pods on Blue Wire. We got tons of great podcasts all across the network, including us, Cash Considerations. Please rate and review us. Give us those 5-star ratings. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, or all these good places. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_J. Follow Ricky at SBN_Ricky. And guys, go check out all his great work at SBNation.com. So that's going to do it for us here on this Memorial Day weekend edition of Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. Please, everybody, have a great holiday weekend, and we will talk to you guys next week.
This is last year's Bulls. It's not last year's Bulls. It's just...